Recording. Edwin said that we do not have oxygen because there are no plants. Plants do what?
Support air.
Well, how do they make oxygen? What process is that? They take carbon dioxide. Jaya, stop talking during class. All on the recording. Ma'am. Shall I call everybody's name out? I'm going to send that to your mother. Matavia said, Matavia booty hole. That's on the recording. I do, because it hooks to it so that you can hear it more clearly. All of y'all, if it's an issue, I'm going to move y'all all around the room. Okay? I said, in this area, I'm going to disperse. Okay. It's called photosynthesis. It's the process of photosynthesis and is going to create oxygen. At this point, there is no life on Earth.
There's no life.
So no cells at all. So definitely nothing doing photosynthesis. Okay? Good? The environment is hot. It's very hot. Lots of volcanic activity. Lots of molten lava around. It is not a habitable place. So then we're going to move to...
What did you say was hot?
The Earth was hot. So this was early Earth, okay? We know these things because we can go back into the rock records and find things. Not just... fossil records of living things. We can look back at the rock formations and things like that. But moving on to the actual fossil records, looking at the things that have been preserved, most things that have ever lived are extinct. Most things that have ever lived have not made a fossil, so we have no record of their existence. Okay? This is because it's much easier to just decompose than it is to actually be fossilized. Most things do not have the chance to become a fossil.
Okay?
Most things do not have the chance to become a fossil. Think about it. There's a dog got hit. It's on the side of the road. What's going to happen to it? Is it going to become a fossil? No. What's going to happen?
It's going to die.
Well, it's dead already. What's going to happen to the body? It's going to decompose. It's one of three things is going to happen. It's going to decompose. It's going to get eaten. Or it's going to get run over and smashed to smithereens. Okay? What's not going to happen is a fossil be created. There's very special conditions that have to take place for a fossil to be created. There needs to be... very quickly covered in sedimentary rock. So things that can happen with this is a landslide. Not necessarily sedimentary rock. You can have a glacier come over and close it. You can have a volcanic eruption where the ash covers it. If the lava goes over it, it's gone. It's burning it up, it's gone. There's no like saving a fossil in volcanic lava. But the ash that comes down from it, that can fossilize. This is why we know the things that happen in Pompeii. In Pompeii, the ash came down and it preserved all the people there. So we were able to see a lot of the things that happened in Pompeii because it preserved it. Okay? Does that make sense? There's different types of fossils. You can have casts. Molds, amber. A cast is going to have the impression and then it's going to get filled in. So then you're going to have like a 3D of it. A mold is going to be the impression of it only. So it's going to just be the impression of it. The amber, that's going to allow you to see what the organism looked like, what its skin looked like, fur, anything like that. It's going to fully preserve it. And it's going to be see-through, so you can see in to see what that organism looked like, okay? If you watch Jurassic Park, I've never seen Jurassic World or any of the newer ones, but I saw Jurassic Park. If you watch Jurassic Park, there was a mosquito-type organism preserved in amber. And they extracted the DNA of a dinosaur out of it, and they were able to replicate from that. I mean, there's tons of things wrong with that. There's no...
Wasn't there, like, a giant mosquito or something like that in the center, and they ended up getting destroyed by the other dinosaur?
This is Jurassic World? I haven't seen Jurassic World.
So I don't know.
I saw Jurassic Park when it came out, and in my opinion, they always planned for them to escape because they built the gates big enough for dinosaurs to get out.
Oh, God.
All right. So looking at the fossil record, dating the fossils, there's a key in this. It follows the law of superposition. Basically, it says that newer stuff is on top, which should make sense, right? Something dies, it goes here.
Yeah.
Then we have stuff building up. Something new dies. It doesn't be like, oh, I died. Let me burrow under this. That's not how that happens. I mean, it's supposed to be fossils of some type of thing. I mean, it doesn't say what it is. And I can't tell from that. Looks like nothing.
Weird.
It looks like a bunch of like crisscrossing to me. I can't tell. But you're seeing larger things here. So, you know, as we move up, we're moving up in time. Now, there are times where you can find an older layer above a newer layer. And that's when you have some type of land shift. And like, yeah, it's like one of the plates moves and it shifts. And then you can have... So you're like this, and then the land will go underneath it like that. So you end up with newer stuff on top, or older stuff on top of newer stuff. It doesn't happen super frequently, but it happens. Which is why that's not the only way that we date fossils. We use the relative dating, and we also use... We use our half-life. So, half-life. This is actually a really easy concept to get that looks like it's complex. It's not. You have to look at radioactive material. So, typically looking at some type of carbon, specifically carbon-14. It decays or breaks down into nitrogen-14 in a very systematic way. And it will take a certain amount of time for it to decay. It's a set amount of time. Since we are in biology and not in chemistry, we're not going to go into why it's going to do it this way, but it will. Every single time, it takes like 5,000 some years for it to decay, half of it to decay. That's its half-life. A half-life means the amount of time that it takes half of the molecules to decay. So if I have 100 molecules in 5,765 years, I will have 50 because half of them will have decayed. And another 5,765 years, I'll have 25 because half of them will decay. Not half of the original, so not a whole nother 50, half of the 50. So now I have 25. Okay, in another 5,765 years, I'll have half of that 25. Well, that's like 12.5, so I'll have 12 or 13, something like that, because you can't have a half one. But so on and so forth, okay? So it's the amount of time that it takes half of the molecules to decay into the other molecule. Any questions on that? Okay, it's a simple concept that looks complex. Yeah, but the thing is, if I know how much carbon is supposed to be in this, and I check and I do the radiometric dating on it, and I get, like, I get a lot less than that, I'd be like, oh, this many years has passed because it decayed down to this. Okay? All right, geological time scale. This is going to break things up into epochs, periods, eras, and eons. Okay? That's just definitional. An epoch is the smallest. This is about 1 million years. A period, it's 10 million years. Era, 100 million years. And then an eon, it's an eon. Billions. I mean, it can include a lot. Okay? Huh? We have two big segments. We have Precambrian and was it Phanerozoic. I can't say that one. Okay. Precambrian is before life. Precambrian is before life. When did Precambrian take place? Before life. Not before human life, before any life. No life. No bacteria. No living anything. Nothing was alive. Nothing. No life. There's other things in existence other than water. No life. Remember early Earth. It's a harsh environment. There's no oxygen, volcanic activity, lots of nitrogen, lots of all of these other uninhabitable or chemicals in the air. Okay? It didn't look awesome, I'm sure. We also had Pangea back then, too. So. All of these are available too. Like all of this, you took notes on this already. You showed me the notes on this one. No, I didn't. Still back one more. There we go. No, she was asking me to go back, and I kept missing the mark to go back. All right, so we are before life. At the end of the Precambrian, we are going to get first life. And before we switch from Precambrian to Cambrian, that's when we're going to have our huge explosion of life. So we're going to have the first bits happen at the end of Precambrian. And then we're going to have a huge explosion of life. Not a literal explosion. There was not a literal explosion. It means there's a lot of creation of life. Lots of life forms appeared all at around the same time. And that is called the Cambrian explosion, and it's the marking point to switch from Precambrian to the Cambrian.
I wonder how the first ever grass.
First ever what?
First ever look.
I mean, we were so deep off into life by the time grass came around. Who knows? And they don't have feelings. So, the first life forms that are going to appear. We're going to have autotrophic prokaryotic cells. Autotrophic means what?
It makes its own food.
An autotroph makes its own food. Why does it need to make its own food? What stuff?
Support.
No? Life. There's no other life. What can it eat? Because if you look around, anything that you eat for energy is living. It's dead now, but it is a living thing. You don't eat tables. You don't eat things that are non-living. Trees are alive. They're a living organism. Whether it is dead or alive at the time you eat it doesn't change that it is a living organism. Okay? There is no mark of death or life on a table. It is non-living. Okay? Does that make sense? So our first, hey, focus. Our first life must be autotrophic because there's nothing for it to eat. Because it's the only life, unless it's going to eat itself. And then it will die because it ate itself. But it's the first life form. It pops up. It's the first one. What is it going to do? Eat itself? No. It's going to make its own food. Okay?
Don't that mean it
It's going to do photosynthesis. And we start making oxygen. This oxygen is going to make the atmosphere. So the atmosphere that is around Earth, the ozone layer, ozone, is oxygen. It's not breathable oxygen. It is poisonous to us. You cannot breathe it in because we breathe O2. The ozone layer is O3. You can't breathe O3. You can only breathe O2. You die. You can't breathe it. It's like breathing in something not oxygen. Yeah. I mean, it's... Well, breathing too much O2 can poison you also. Just like drinking too much water can poison you and kill you. So... And then if you drink too much, there's... Yeah, that's different. If you drink too much... We'll get into that when we get into homeostasis and all that. All right. After we had our autotrophic prokaryotes come through, we're going to get eukaryotic cells. Hey, do you need to go back over here?
No.
Okay. Y'all stop talking. Focus. We had eukaryotic cells. What is the difference between a prokaryotic cell and a eukaryotic cell? They are the first cells. They're much older. They're much more simplistic. So if you guys backtrack your minds back to like seventh grade science, prokaryotic cells don't have a nucleus and they have no organelles. Eukaryotic cells have a nucleus and have organelles. Key organelles that they have are the mitochondria, and chloroplast, which brings us possibly? Nope, not yet. I'll talk about that on the next one, I guess. All right, so we got our eukaryotic and our prokaryotic. Hey, focus. All right, so we had our Cambrian explosion when we move into the Paleozoic era, okay? Paleozoic is going to have the rise of the giants. The giants.
The giant bugs.
Big old bugs. Big old plants. Everything is huge. Why is everything huge? What's in the air? What do we have a lot of now?
Oxygen.
Why do we have a lot of oxygen? Okay, so we started out with the autotrophic, and they're making oxygen, right? Is there anything that is making carbon dioxide? Do we exist?
No.
No, we don't exist. Do the animals exist? No. I said we're here at the archaic, our autotrophic prokaryotes. We're making all this oxygen, okay? The first life forms that are going to be eukaryotic are going to be plants. They're going to be aquatic plants. We haven't gone to land yet. They're going to be aquatic plants. They are also making oxygen. There's years and years and years and way more than you can comprehend of years of just plants. It makes so much oxygen. And there was so much carbon dioxide out there, so much for the plants to thrive on. They were able to thrive. They grew huge. And then we got the insects. They were huge because there was so much oxygen and there was so much food. The larger you are, the more oxygen you need and the more energy you need. But it was just prevalent. It was there. It was there for the taking, and they could have as much of it as they wanted. Okay? So they were able to get so big. You don't see things as big as they used to be because there's not enough food and there's not enough oxygen. Okay? All right, so Paleozoic era, it's going to end with a mass extinction.
We're mostly marine organisms, but
like 90% of things go extinct. Wipes it out. Mass extinction. We are well overdue for a mass extinction. All right, so we go from Paleozoic and we go into Mesozoic. Mesozoic is going to be the rise of the dinosaurs. Okay? We have dinosaurs. We have birds. I didn't even click it. Yeah, but it doesn't work. Like, remember I was trying to click it? It doesn't work. I don't know why it changed. Let's not misuse the diagnosis of bipolar. All right. At this point, we're going to have the creation of the KT boundary. This is an actual boundary. It's a physical boundary that's going to have really high levels of a certain compound called iridium. In this whole boundary, it has high levels of iridium. Different era. It's separating the two eras, okay? The organisms of one era, and then on top of it, it's the organisms of the next era, okay? Does that make sense? We're going to end this one with a mass extinction that came with a meteorite. That's how we killed the dinosaurs. Okay? Wiped out the dinosaurs. Wiped out a lot of marine animals. This is going to lead to the rise of the mammals. Because the mammals were small. They were tiny, tiny. They were smaller than the mammals we see today. But the dinosaurs were huge. They required so much oxygen, so much food. But now we wiped out most of the organisms on Earth. They've been wiped out, and it's going to change our climate. It's going to change our atmospheric makeup. It's going to take out some of the oxygen. There's not enough oxygen to sustain something so big. So the mammals didn't get wiped out because they were small. They didn't need as much. So then, with all of these wiped out, there's going to be the rise of the mammals, okay? All right, Cenozoic, the rise of the mammals, okay? Rise of the Planet of the Apes? Nah, that was a good one. Focus, focus. So we have the rise of the mammals in the Cenozoic. We're almost done with this one. Girl, I'm reviewing everything from this quiz that you guys didn't get. Like, I'm trying to give it to you. All right. There was I don't think we've had a mass extinction since then. We're going to appear in the Neozoic period. Okay? We are in the Cenozoic era. That is our era right now, the Cenozoic. Okay? All right, so that was fossil evidence of change. Moving on to the origin of life. All right. Focus. No eating in class. Javion, eating in class. Because it's on the recording, then everyone will know that Javion was eating in class.
Oh, recording. Oh, recording there with you?
No, in her
AirPod. All right. Focus. Spontaneous generation. You guys asked me to record this, so I'm recording it.
I'm glad she did.
Hey, focus. Spontaneous generation. This was the idea that life came from non-life. So if this was something that actually happened, you would have a jar of peanut butter in your cabinet, you open it up and it's filled with mold because things grew, or a chicken comes out of it.
Chicken?
Yeah, this can't happen because life does not come from non-life. Okay?
So
spontaneous, like we're just here and then poof, there's something living there that wasn't there before. Spontaneous generation of life. This was the thought before I think it was Mueller, did the experiments. He did an experiment where he took a piece of meat, left it in a flask open, and it grew, and it had maggots in it. Well, I mean, that's what happens. When meat decomposes, it gets maggots in it, and the maggots kind of they eat it up, whatever. It was open to the air. Where did the maggots come from? People thought that it spontaneously generated. So he took another one, another flask, put a piece of meat in it, and put a cap on it. So nothing could get to it. Nothing grew on it. Hey, focus. Focus. Javion, focus. The one that was in the flask that was covered did not have any maggots growing in it, but the one that was open did have maggots growing in it.
I've seen a video on Facebook about, you know, cutting up cows, you know, feeding it, and it was like bugs in it, but maggots.
I wouldn't believe that one. I mean, was it, yeah, but video, you can't believe everything you see. Because, I mean, movies aren't real, but they look very real. You can't believe everything you see. And there's no bugs inside of the cow. So if they take, like, the cow and cut it up and there's bugs in it, that's a lie. That's a lie. It's a lie because the cow is not living with bugs inside of it. No, it would digest it. No, it's a lie. Fake. Now, it could have a parasite inside of it, but that's not what they show in these videos.
All right, so that was spontaneous generation.
So, him showing that there was no spontaneous generation, it leads us to our theory of biogenesis. This is the theory of how life became, how there was any life to begin with, okay? Louis Pasteur did an experiment to try and show this happening. Basically, he put all of the things that were necessary to make a living organism into a flask called the primordial soup. No, this isn't abiogenesis. Theory of biogenesis. That's life from life. That's what I talked about. And I talked about him doing that. I'm on the wrong theory.
Yeah.
Huh? That was the same one. I was talking about that theory before. Wrong theory. All right. It was a theory of abiogenesis, but we haven't gotten there yet. All right. The theory of biogenesis. Sorry, not abiogenesis. The theory of biogenesis says that life comes from life. And Pasteur is the one who proved that.
So if we go back to how we made life,
our first things that are going to come together are proteins, and then we're going to end up getting to RNA. Proteins are really long, complex models, and they needed something to help hold them together. Clay held them together and allowed them to make their long structures. The first things that were lifelike had a protein coat. Who's that? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. foundation. All right, we talked about the first sales already. We talked about the first sales already. That was in the other one. All right, so endosymbiont theory. This is the one where I was talking about where the prokaryotic cells got engulfed by the eukaryotic cells. So that's how we end up with mitochondria and chloroplast, okay? Making a mutually beneficial relationship. All right, done. So that was the first two. We got an hour, so okay. How are you guys feeling about Darwin's theory of natural selection? Are there any questions?